There are two parashios this week, and therefore we only do there's only one parasha. This week we only lay in parashas Bahar. We do not lay in Bahar Bechuk Hosein. And therefore, okay, so we start with Sheni. This thing we're up to from last year, supposedly, whatever. A person who buys something from his friend, or he sells. First, the word simkiru. Okay, if a person will sell, if you will sell a mimkar, an object for sale, to your friend, or kono miyad am misach, you will purchase. Al toinu ish esachim, you shall not wrongdo one another. Rashi, what is Rashi on this pasuk? You'll see the Rashi first. V'chi simku lefib shudosh al kamashmoi. It simply means you engage in transactions. V'yo yesh lefot derosha minayin. When you sell, you have something to sell, and you have a choice to sell it to a goy or to a Jew. Sell it to a Jew. Always sell, if you have someone who's not a Jew, sell it to a Jew. Okay? If you have something to sell, sell it to your Jew. Sell it to a Jew. Let's say you want to buy something, and you can buy from a guy, you can buy from a Jew person, you want to lease a car. So you can lease a car from a Goyish leasing company, or you can lease a car from a Jewish leasing company. Where should you get the lease? So this is the mitzvah deraisa, talmulema o konoi miyara misach. Okay, it's a very basic halacha. You know, it's a very big challenge sometimes, because sometimes you don't want to, because the Jews, you know, sometimes it may be unpleasant. Now, obviously, There are different parameters in this halacha. Not all the time is a person obligated to buy from a Jew. If the guy is selling it to you a lot cheaper, of course you can buy from a guy. And if the Jew, you're dealing with the Jew, you don't want the Jew to know all your business. So also, there are many mitigating factors as to when a person is mekayim, that has an obligation to mekayim the mitzvah. You engage in business, do business with Jews. Obviously, there are many different situations, many different factors of honesty and price, and other personal matters. You don't necessarily want a Jew knowing your business. You do taxes, right? So if you go and you have a Jew, an accountant, who's a Jew, some, for people it's very uncomfortable. I don't want another Jew knowing all my business. It's not, none of his business. Okay, I remember when I was once in rabbi school, in the olden days, so they taught us in rabbi school, if you're a rabbi in a real shul, a real community, never ever use the services of one of your balabatim. Let's say you have a balabas who's a dentist and you need to go to the dentist. Do not ever use the services of the balabas who's a dentist. Or if you want to go, let's say you need an accountant and one of your balabatim is an accountant, do not use the services of your balabatim. Why not? It is inevitable that the day will come when you're not going to be happy with his service. And then you're going to say, no, sorry, I have to take my business elsewhere. And that's going to create a very difficult situation for you in your position. Because if you're using one of your balabatim as a dentist and he doesn't know what he's doing, you don't want to get yourself all ruined. So you're going to go to another dentist and then he's going to get all insulted. And then it's going to create friction in your position. Oh, but it says over here in the pasuk, "V'chi simkru mimkar kama la'amisecha," or "Oy konoy miyad." If you want to buy something, amisecha. There are obviously many exceptions to this rule. Okay, now al toynu. What is an al toynu? Zoy oyno asmaman. When you sell or buy, do not engage in gezel. Do not cheat. That's pretty self-understood, right? You don't really need a pasuk for that, but there's a pasuk. Pasuk in the Hagam, Vade se zaben zivinin lechavroch. When a person sells a zivinin, you have an object you want to sell, or sizbein mida, if you want to purchase something. Mida means something. If you notice, the Hagam here has added in an extra word. This word does not appear in the pasuk. And it's interesting that our target movie here in this online Safaria, they highlight the extra words in bold. And for some reason in this pasuk they did not. Doesn't say the pasuk over here. Oh no, see, I'm always the one who made a mistake. You see, the words miyad. Oy konoy miyad. Oy sizbein mido. Okay, I'm sorry. Mido means from the hand. Dechavrach, my error. Lo so nun givar yos achohi. One man shall not wrongdo his fellow man. All right, let's see the next pasuk. This pasuk is a little more difficult. The mispar shon, the long Rashi over here on this pasuk, this little bit like chesed over here. Okay, this is very relevant over here. You know, this week is Shemitah. This parasha is about Shemitah, and you know, this year is a Shemitah year. This is not Yovel, but it's Shemitah. So it says here, according to the number of years, but mispar, according to the number of years, achar hayovel tikne, shall you purchase me'esa misecha, b'mispar, according to the number, shnei, the years of sivuos, of expected crops, Yim kolach, he shall sell to you. Now, what does this mean? So Rashi says as follows: B'mispar shanim achara hayavel tigne zehu pshutoi liyashev hamikra al ofnav. This is the simple reading of the pasuk. According to the number of years, you shall buy. Let's see what he means over here. Al ho'oino'o bola hazir. And Rashi is coming to explain what this means. We're coming out here to warn a person not to cheat. When you buy or sell land, du, the pasuk here is coming to tell you advice. Du, you shall know, make a calculation. Kama shonim yesh ad hayoyvel. How many more years is left until the next yovel? And because when yovel comes, the land automatically goes back for free. Therefore, the transaction, the sale, shall be based upon how many years is left until the lease is over. Basically, every time you sell land to another person, it's not really a sale. It's really a lease. Because when Yovel arrives, the land automatically goes back to the original owner. So
is that applicable to owners?
No, no. This halacha only applies bisman. Bizman, I think when Yovel, there's no Yovel Bizman Hazeh. This does not apply today. Today there is no Yovel. In order for there to be Yovel, you need to have the majority of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. And according to some, you have to have also the Beis Hamidrash. I don't know the details. But today it is a given that we do not calculate Yovel. There is no Yovel Bizman Hazeh. It's just Shemitah, 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 Shemitah. There is no Yovel. So when a person buys land in today's day and age, since there is no Yovel, you just pay one flat price, whatever you want to pay. And the person who buys it, it's his forever. It does not go back because there is no Yovel. Now you'll say, what happens when Mashiach will come? I don't know how it's going to work when Mashiach will come. I think anyway when Mashiach comes, everything anyway, there's going to be a whole new division. I don't know. I don't really have no idea what happens. But today, this halacha does not apply. It applies bizman shebeis hamidu shehekayim in Eretz Yisrael when you sell land. So how many years left is there? The maximum number of years is 49 years. Because year 50, in the beginning of year 50, it goes back. So the longest transaction possible is 49 years. And how much do you sell? So there's a measurement of land called a beis saw. A beis saw is basically the same exact size as the Mishkan. It's about 71 amos by 71 amos. In square, it's a rectangle, it's 100 amos by 50 amos. When you square out a rectangle that's 50 amos by 100 amos, it turns into, I think, about 71 and change by 71 and change. That piece of land, the max is 50 shkola. So a person were to sell a piece of land the day one after Yovel, it's 50 shkolim for a piece of land that is 50 amos wide and 100 amos in length. And everything has to be made with that calculation. You have to, you know, that's the basic parameters. And that has to be plugged into a formula. And you'll put into the formula two variables, the exact measure of land that you're selling and the number of years left until Yovel. and the algorithm, the formula, will tell you exactly how much money the buyer is obligated to pay. And the pasuk is telling us to follow those rules and don't cheat your neighbor who doesn't know how to add two numbers together like me. Okay, I'm not proud of that, but I've never had a good time with math. Very hard. You shall know how many years left is there until Yovel. According to the years and the number of crops that are expected to grow, the seller will sell, the buyer will buy, because the end is it's going to return to the original owner when Yovel comes. And now he explains in more detail. If there's only a few years left until Yovel, and the seller cheats the buyer and sells it for an enormous amount of money, the buyer has been cheated. Maybe the buyer does not know the halacha. He's not aware that when Yovel comes, the land will go back to the original owner. And in the meantime, he's paying an enormous amount of money when he only has really a few years left to benefit from the land. The buyer has been cheated. Let's say the lender is ignorant. Let's say Yovel will come around in 49 years, and the seller doesn't realize, the seller thought that Yovel is going to be in 5 years. Little does he know that Yovel really is going to be in 49 years. So then, and he goes and he takes a small amount of money. Hare nisana moicher. If the mercha takes too little money, then he has been cheated. Lefichach, therefore, tzarech leknaisa lefi hazman. V'zeu shnema b'mispar shnei tzivosim kolach. According to the number of crops, the anticipated number of crops, it shall be sold for minyan shnei, the years of hatzivos shetehei oimedes b'yad lekech yimkar loy. How many years left will it be in the possession of the buyer until Yovel comes? Rabbeinu darshu mikan, and our teachers learn from over here, shamoicher sodeo enoshai legal pachos mishtei shanim. Now there's another halacha being taught here incidentally in this pasuk, and that is, let us say a person, he sells his field, his ancestral plot that he received from his ancestors, from his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, going back to the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. And then, so the rule is, if you sell your field to somebody, you have the right to redeem it prematurely. So even though ordinarily the land remains in the possession of the buyer until the Yovel, if the seller, for whatever reason, wants to take it back, he is permitted to force the buyer to relinquish the land. He'll pay him out the balance. It's really a lease. It's a prorated lease. And the seller can force the buyer to give it back to him, provided that the seller gives back the amount of money that the balance of whatever the land has not been used.
It's only within the first 2 years, right?
Oh, so we learn from this. No. After 2 years. That's another halacha. That's halacha Abayis in the Abot Erechayim. You're thinking about a different halacha. We'll come to that soon. Here we're dealing with a piece of land. We're dealing with karka, the empty land that you use for farming. Empty land. Here the halacha is that you cannot force the buyer to relinquish the property and have it returned to the seller for 2 whole years. You cannot disturb him. If the buyer has gone through the effort to acquire this land, the buyer knows that there has 2 strikes against him. Every buyer knows that when Yovel arrives, the land goes back to the original owner. The buyer also knows that if the seller at any point in time wants to buy it back, to forcefully take it back, provided he can do so, provided that the seller returns the balance of what, depending on how you prorate the number of years for the purchase price. So there are 2 strikes against a buyer. When a person buys an ancestral plot of land from someone else, he has to be aware that the land will eventually return to the original owner. Number two, he has to be aware that the seller can force him to sell it back, to give it back whenever he wants. The only source of strength...
The buyer makes a mistake. You mentioned before, the buyer thinks a certain amount of years of yoga left, and he's wrong. He thinks it's 49 years, and it's really only 2 or 3. Halachically, do we say buyer beware, shame on you?
No. We have a rule. We have a rule of ein oinole karkois. When it comes to karkois, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know the answer. Obviously, the Torah says do not cheat your friend. You're asking a question. Let's say you did cheat him. Are you required to return the money? Are you required to return the money? I don't know the answer. I don't know. It could be there's a general Gemara or is ein oino lekarkois. When it comes to land, there's no such thing as oino. It's how much you're willing to pay. Now, does that apply to farming land? Maybe it only applies to, let's say, at the time, let's say the Gemara is talking about, the time of the Gemara, when you buy a piece of land in Bavel. People bought property in Bavel, where they were living in Bavel. There's no din of Yovel in Bavel and Golis. So it could be in this case there is, since it's a fixed price. Maybe if there's an error in the amount of money paid, maybe the whole transaction is annulled. I do not know the answer, but over here let's just stick to the Rashi for the moment. And Rashi, what you're saying is that there is only one thing, that one good thing that is going for the buyer. And that is for the first two years, the seller cannot force the buyer to give it back. That's the only good thing that the seller has going for him. The first 2 years. I would say that should be kind. Shamoi chasudei in rishai legal pachus mishtei shanim. Shatamoi, it has to at least remain shtei shanim biyad halokech miyam liyim. Two years from day to day. Because many years in agriculture, it's common to plant multiple crops in 1 year. Typically, they would plant two crops. There's the winter crop and there's the summer crop. So even though you're getting, in 2 years, theoretically, you can have four crops, or maybe even more. Okay? Maybe even more. You know, you can squeeze in another crop, like the people teach in college. Once upon a time I used to be an adjunct, so you know, it was a big thing. They created, during the vacation time, during midwinter vacation, between the fall semester and the spring semester, there's an extra, a session. Again, a lot of people make a lot of, the students can hop around some credits and professors can make a lot of money. And then they had two sessions. They squeezed in two sessions in between the fall and the winter. And then in the summer, also two sessions. So you can teach nonstop the whole year. You can teach 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 semesters. Mr. Rapport, you ever do that? How many max do you teach during the year?
Not anymore, because Turo's, not, at least in my section, they don't have business sections. Plus, Turo bases its carrying of sessions upon enrollment. You don't get enough students, they cancel a class.
Right, that was the problem in Brooklyn College also. That was the problem in Wilson. They didn't get enough students to come during those sessions. But during the good times, they really people know they.
Yeah, I did. I taught.
It's a whole different type of course. We have to go teach. We have to go teach in 5 weeks the whole course.
You have to have klech though, because.
I know. It's impossible.
In the winter, in the fall, and the spring, you go once a week. In the summer, you're going twice a week because it's condensed. Everything's condensed.
Well, you go every day a week. Every day. I know. But the point over here is the same thing when it comes to the grain. When it comes to agriculture, you can squeeze in more crops. It doesn't matter. It's telling over here, the rule over here is that you have to have, even if you can get 3 crops, that filu ye sholosh tvois v'oisan sheishanin, v'goyin shemachalo b'ko moiseha. Let's say you sold it to the person. Over here he's saying this in a similar case, where you sold the field to the person when the grain was already standing. So that already counts, because the person who buys it can immediately harvest, and then it'll plant, and then it'll harvest before the end of the year. So he's already getting 2 crops. He's getting 2 crops in the first year. Let's say in this situation, the person, you only get 1 crop per year. But if you buy it at a time of the year when the grain is not even harvested, and the buyer immediately harvests the crop, that counts, that's profit for the buyer. And then he right away plants, and he plants again. And then the end of the year, he harvests again. So he have to run 2 crops in 1 year. And the next year he gets, let's say there's 1. So he has only 3 crops. So maybe you would say that in this case, the buyer should have to pay more money. if the seller is selling the land, or maybe the seller would say to the buyer, listen, even though it's only 1 year, being that you already have benefited a double harvest from the field, I'm going to force you to sell me the field back. No, we don't care if the buyer was able to exploit the land and get three crops. The bottom line is time. 2 full years. He sold it when the grain was standing. The word number two, you have to have at least 2 years. Kolayma mispar, the number of shanim shel tvuos v'loy shel shin. There's another halacha he's telling us over here. You have to have at least two crops. Let's say shanim shel tvuos v'loy shel shidofin. What happens if there's no crop this year? There was a wind blast. Shidofin means there was some type of tornado, some type of strong winds which destroyed the crop, and let's say. So it can be 5 years. What happens if the buyer buys the field and first year comes along, the wind destroys the crop, second year, third year, the seller cannot force the buyer to give up the field unless the buyer has benefited two normal, healthy crops. So a lot of rules here in this pasuk. Let's go look at the pasuk one time. B'mispar shonim, it says here in this pasuk two different things. It says the word, he's actually really coming to answer the question, why does it have to repeat itself? Why does it have the word shonim? And why does it say again, b'mispar shnei? Shnei years, the word shnei means, does that mean two? Or does that mean, no, I guess it means two. Unless it's a drasha. No, I'm not even, we have to see the targum in a moment. Let's see the targum. I think Rashi over here is saying this is a drasha. The word shnei can mean one of two things. It can either mean a year, or it could mean two. Over here, in the English, and in selling to you, that person shall charge you only for the remaining crop years. Okay, so the Targum, the English translator, not necessarily what he's saying is accurate. Okay, there are a lot of red flags when it comes to the one who put the English over here. But he translates the word shnei as years, as in shonim. Just another way to say shnei years, which it makes a lot of sense. However, Rashi is making a drosha, he's quoting the Gemara, that the word shnei should not be translated as years, but should be translated as two. Echad, shnei, shnei means shnei, shlishi, it means two shnei sivus, two crops. So
and
what?
The word tvuos.
Tvuos is losh
rab. The word tvuos makes that the drosha.
On the word tvuos, not the word shnei? Okay, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, fine. Okay, it could be. Right, you have to see all the mafarshim. They analyze this in very, very detail. But for our point, for right now, for this moment, maybe we'll see the Targum will give us a little more elucidation. Is that there are two different parts of this pasuk. The first pasuk says b'mispar shanim, and then the end of the pasuk it says b'mispar shnei sivu ois b'loshan rabim, and the word shnei simply means years, but also may allude to two. And what is it telling you? It's telling you two chumras. The seller has no right to harass the buyer, demanding that he sell it back prematurely, unless two things have happened. Number one, two complete years have passed. Number two, during those two complete years, the buyer was able to have to benefit at least two crops. And if the buyer benefited, let's say, even three crops within 1 year, no, we then go back to the beginning of the pasuk. You have to still wait two complete years time. And if two complete years pass, but the buyer did not benefit two crops, also no good. So this is what Rashi was telling us. That's called the Oina. The Oina is a very important pasuk. B'mispar shanim, and b'mispar shnei sivu ois. Now let's read the Rashi one more time. It's a beautiful Rashi. Tells you a lot of principles. Kedai to review. B'mispar shanim ash achar hayavol tikne. So pshutoi, We're now going to present the simple reading of the pasuk liyashev hamikra al of nof. This is a classic expression that Rashi invented. Liyashev hamikra. Rashi says this expression many times in order to clarify the mikra, the pasuk al of nof. What does that word mean? I don't know what that word means. You have an article. Anyone have an article? If you have it in front of you, how we translate the word of nof? Of nof means in its setting, on in its place. Maybe it comes with the word oifanim on its wheels. Okay.
Yeah, I
have
the article.
So how does the article translate the word ofnof? The precise translation. We all know what it means. Basically, I'm now coming to explain the pasuk according to its basic translation, which accords with its context. And its environment, however you want to say it. But what is the literal translation of the word Afnaf?
For example, he used the word victimized.
No, I want the word, just the word Afnaf. I know that. We'll get to later on. That's Ona. That's what Ona. Liyashev, the very beginning of the Rashi in art, what does it say? Liyashev, in Zer Pshuta, Liyashev, to explain hamikra al upon ofnof. Okay, ofnof over here in modern English, Hebrew means the face value, a kapayim. Okay, ofnof in modern Hebrew means pasuk 15, 25, Leviticus 25:15. The very beginning of Rashi. This is not a major point. I just got curious. Just out of the blue, just got curious. You read the Rashi begins with the words. I'm reviewing the Rashi. Zehu Peshutai. We're now going to learn the pshat in the pasuk liyashev to make sense. Hamikra, the pasuk al on ofnof. Ofnof. If you do not have an English translation, what would you translate that?
He says, in its proper setting.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't so off. Proper setting. Okay, good. But you know, in modern Hebrew, in the dictionary, just typed into Google this second. Google says the word of love means face, on its face. On its face, which is an English expression, which makes a lot of sense. That's an expression. Face value. Right? Face value. What you see is what you get. At face value, the word of love, the of apayim, your af, your nose, your face. I'm now going to tell you the pshat, the pasuk, the way the words fit into the text in the simplest way possible, the way it appears on based upon its face value, whatever that means. Okay, in its setting, the art school has taken the liberty to translate this word non-literally to mean in its proper setting. Okay, we're getting sidetracked. That's not what our point of view is. Now here is review the Rashi. Al ho'ayno ba'lehazir. We're coming over here to warn a person not to commit wrongdoing. The word ho'ayno means pain. Ho'ayno means suffering. When you cheat somebody, you cause them to suffer. They suffer. They feel tsar. They feel pain. That's called oino. So which person in Tanakh suffered the most? Who in Tanakh had the greatest degree of yisurim? So what would you say? I think the average person on the street would say, without even a heartbeat, without would say Eoif. Eoif. Eov suffered the most. Mr. Rapport, is that a fair statement?
Yeah, he lost everything.
There's a whole book on his suffering, right?
He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he was made to suffer, himself, boils, everything.
Everything he suffers, so he suffered the most, correct? Eov, his whole book, Job, he suffered the most, right? It's not true. There's someone in Tanakh that suffered even more than Eov, much more than Eov. Who is that? Yonah. Yonah gets the prize for suffering. Yonah's name means to suffer. Yonah comes from the word onah, suffering. Yonah suffered more than Eoiv. Eoiv, he suffered a physical pain. He suffered agmas nefesh, losing his children. He suffered pain, losing his wealth, his two children, his whole life. But Yonah suffered for Klal Yisrael. Yonah had a very different type of suffering. On Yom HaKippurim, how do you know I'm saying this correct? Because Yom HaKippurim is called the day of the Inisen Es Nafshay Seichen. Hashem tells us to suffer on Yom HaKippurim. You shall afflict yourself. Don't wear comfortable shoes. Don't eat, don't drink. Inui. And we come to the end of the day, the climax of our suffering. What do we read from? We read from Yonah. Why don't we read from Eoiv? Because Eoiv's suffering is not, don't get me wrong now, no one is Mekane Eoiv. Don't get me wrong. People spent a life, their lives writing Sefarim to analyze Eoiv. Eoiv is, you know, don't get me wrong here. But Yonah suffered even more. How do you know that? Because the name Yonah comes from the word Oino. Oino is suffering. Okay, so now with that, let's go back. Leave for Al Hoino Bol Hazir, Kishatimkor Sitne Karka. When a person engages in selling or purchasing land, we are discussing farming land. That is critical. We are not discussing the sale of a home. We're not discussing the sale of a home. We live in a walled city, and we're not discussing a home in a unwalled city. We are not discussing purchasing land in Golos, outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're not even discussing selling or buying land in Eretz Yisrael at a time when there is no Beis HaMikdash. This pasuk is severely limited. We're discussing buying and selling land that is used for farming in Eretz Yisrael during a time when Yovel is in operation. Okay, it's a very limited case. And the pasuk is telling you, when you do such a thing, sometimes you can have people that are ignorant. They don't know the laws. And you can take advantage of them. You can manipulate them. And they can think that you're going to sell them the land for a very long period of time, or you're going to sell them the land for a short period of time. They don't know the laws. Do not take advantage of someone's ignorance. Be honest. I was reading today about Reichman, Paul Reichman. Paul Reichman, why was he called Paul? His name was Moshe. How does Paul get to Moshe? His Hebrew name was Moshe, and he was called Paul Reichman. So it's very, very fascinating. Not him, it's his father. His father's name was Shaya. His father was a very fascinating. His parents, no matter what you think about Paul Reichman, his parents were even more fascinating. Incredible parents. Incredibly, incredible Hatzalah work during the war. They saved many people's lives. And during that time in the war, his name was Shaya. I think his name was Shaya. I read this today. I was just reading something today about Shaya. He went, and a lot of people, they didn't know what they were running away for their lives from the Nazis. So he collected their money. He collected all the money, and they didn't know what to do with the money, so he wired money to people in America, to Jews in America. Now get a load of this. He just sent them money without, like, he got a hold of, someone gave him a list of names of honest Erlicha Jews who live in America. And he just wired them enormous amounts of money. And one day you wake up in the morning, and these people in America, they look at their bank account. It obviously wasn't like it is today, where they're computerized, and they see in the bank account $1 million. The auxiliary was wired to one person $75,000, which today would be equivalent to $1 million. So a guy wakes up in the morning and he sees in his bank account, the bank deposited in your bank account $1 million. Could you imagine? So what happened? They survived the war, and you know, America didn't take anyone in. Somehow he was able to get in a whole kunst, how he came to America, and he went to visit these people. And he told the people, we were very desperate. I collected the money to save their money. Many of them are dead, they were killed, but the ones that survived, and I sent you the money for safekeeping. and we weren't able to even send you a message that we want you just to hold on to the money. And there was one particular person, and he says, yes, I remember that day, and I immediately understood what it was about. People were dying, and they wanted to save their money. I right away understood what it was about, and I didn't touch it, and here it is. I want to give you back every single penny. So if there was one person, I forgot his name, I know, who gave him back every single penny without any questions, and many other people that he sent the money to, they didn't. They gave him back some of the money, not all of it. That's what it says in the book. Some of the money, not all of the money. And this person that gave back all the money, somehow they developed the next generation. I don't know the whole story. You know, it's amazing. Honesty, honesty, integrity is an amazing thing. And here, Rashi is telling you over here, this pasuk is being an honest person. Don't wrongdo a person. You're selling them land. The land's going to go back when Yovel comes. There are people that are ignorant. They don't know the laws. You can easily take advantage of them. Don't. Don't let the buyer should not take advantage and the seller should not take advantage. And Raj just spells it out. Kishatimkar or tikner karka du kama sharam yesh adi of know how many years left until Yovel. Well, if you have sharam according to the number of years in the grain, the number of crops, I saw that she uyalasois. According to the number of years that are left, the transaction will be conducted. Because the end is going to be that when Yovel comes, it's going to go back. If there are only a few years left to Yovel, and you sell it for an exorbitant price, the buyer has been cheated. He paid an enormous amount of money, and in a very short time, he loses his investment. Let's say there's a very long time until Yovel, and the buyer took advantage, only gave a small amount of money. The seller has been cheated. Everyone has to be on the same page. There has to be honesty. You sit down, and you have to discuss exactly what's going to happen, and exactly how many years, and lay out the facts. Transparency. This is basic. This is transparency. That's the name of the game. I don't anymore. It's not even really the name. It used to be the name of the game. It used to be the name of the game. Today, there's no transparency today. Do you know how much money people got for COVID? People, how much money? There's a lot of garbage going on out there. People were bribed. People, newspapers, Rabbanim, Rahman Litzlan, and priests and all these things were given enormous amounts of money to promote things that they knew nothing about. And halavai, everyone should be healthy and gesund. But I don't know if you read the news, but you know, there's a lot of things going on out there, and there was a lot of money paid to persuade people to do things that, if they were not given money, they would not necessarily have behaved that way. Money is the source of all evil. And who knows what the end's going to be of all this, what's going to be, whatever. Who knows? Halavai, everything should work out for the best. Halavai. In Yeshua, over here, do not cheat. Hare nisan lakech, am Yeshua, merubas, vechal men of tuas, harbe, hare nisan amoicher. The money has been cheated. Look, they would search, look, let's look at his man. The Zer Shneimar, but Mispar according to the Shnei Shavuos, Yim Koloch. It shall be sold to you. Lefi Minyan Shnei HaTavuos, Shatei Omedes, Ger Lekech, Tim Koloch. According to the number of Tavuos, that it will remain the Him Lekech, it will be sold. And now that's the Pshat. And now he comes along and he says over here, the Drush, which basically complements the Pshat and takes note of why it says Shonin and why it says Shnei Shavuos. You have to make sure the buyer has at least 2 years to enjoy the property and is benefits at least two crops. If both conditions have been met, then the seller can force the buyer to let him redeem it with the balance. But if you do not have these two conditions, then not. I'm saying Dorosh Shemikan Shemach Shadi in Roshai. You have no permission. Legal Pachas Mishesham Shatam Mishesham Biyad Alokech Miyamugam. I feel the Yeshal Shavuos by Sin Shesham. Kigoyin Shemach Olah Bekoyim Asera. Ush 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 Ushnei And the word ushnei, okay, Mr. Rapport, I think over here that's what it means over here. Ushnei, is that what it means over here according to Mr. Rapport? The word ushnei, eino yoytze mipshutoi, kolaymar, mispar shonim shol tuvuois, v'loy shol shidofoi, umiyot shonim shnayim. Okay, maybe it means shonim's years. Ushnei means years. Maybe that doesn't mean years, it means years. But the minimum number of years, tivuois veloshen rabin, at least two crops. Now let's see the Targum. Targum, the minyan shenayah, the number of years, bosa yovela, tisbein you will purchase, min chavroch, the minyan, according to the number, shenay, the years, alalta, I guess means the crops, Yezablach he shall sell to you. All right. Now, how big is this puzzle? How many Rashi over here? It's very short. Let's just do very quick, very short puzzle. Lefi roiv hashanim, according to the abundance of years, tarbe mignasai. Lefi moiv hashanim, tarbe mignasai, ki mispar sinuois, hu meichalach. This is like repetition. Here, obviously, this must be over here. There must be over here some dini. And Rashi says tarbe mignasai, timkren beyoker. If there are many years, the price goes up. Tamit mignasai, tamit bidomero. Okay, so the word over here in this part that says tarbe goes on the price. And when it says tamit, it goes on the price. If there are many years left until Yovel, the price goes up. If there are less years, then tamit mignas, the price goes down. Targum, lefum, according to sigius. Sagi means many, the abundance of shinaya. Taske zivinohi, the price goes up. Ulefum zeirus, zeirus always means small. Shenaya, if there are few years, the few number of years, tazer zivinohi, the price goes down. Are minyan alalta, the number of crops, who mizabinlach, he's selling the other crops. Is there any difference in Rashi? Not really. Rashi and Mukla seem to be on the same page over here. Okay, vloisonu ishes amisoi. Don't cheat your friend. The eraser, don't cheat your friend. The eraser, okay, what does this mean? Rashi goes, Misho Karan Israel, and ask Dvorim. Okay, this passage over here is coming to you. It's already out of time. I don't want to keep you up. I'm not selfish of me. So, Mir Hashem will do this. Oinas Dvorim is a big, big topic. The repetition that we'll do tomorrow slowly as it deserves. I'll look at the target more carefully. Okay, thank you very much for coming and learning with me. And
my father had the same story. When he came in 48, 49,
yeah.
He was going through the fur district, and someone came out and who recognized him from Europe, and he says, I have money here for a guy, Gluck. You know him? And that was the dessert. It was a kavir, Eugene Gluck, who was very involved. Big Tzedakah, he owned, I think, Armitron and one of the watch companies. And that was his money. He got him his money.
Very good. That's a digim.
All right. Have a shkayach. Good night.
Zay Gizur Rabbi Sal. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Be well. Norman, have a good night. Thank you for coming, Norman.